Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Let's Talk Archetypes with your host, renowned intuitive and author, Roy Solberg.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining me today. This is Roy, and we're going to talk archetypes with Tom Froelich. I am broadcasting from my home in California, and I understand the phone system is a little bit low, so I'm going to keep yelling it so that you can hear me clearly. This week, as I said, we're having Tom on, and Tom is the author of My Uncle's Shoes and Other Gifts. Isn't that just the greatest title? It's magical and serendipitous stories, I can't pronounce that, from everyday life. And he also wrote It Happened Along the Way, and his new project is I Am a Very Spiritual Yet Vulgar Man. And this is about Tom's journey to authenticity. That's what this radio station and this show is about, is becoming authentic. And so I invited him to be my guest today to share his story and just give you an idea of what it's like to make major, major changes in your life and the challenges that you face and so on and so forth. So, Tom, if you would join me.
Hello, Roy. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you. So, you know, we've known each other, what, about a decade or so?
Right.
Yeah. And you moved from Wisconsin to California. And as
yes,
I understand it,
ago.
that was a long time dream of yours to live in California. So tell me, what was the defining moment that made you say, okay, I'm going to pack up my stuff and move?
As always, there were a variety of things. I don't regret having stayed in Wisconsin as long as I did. I mean, I established some really deep relationships with my family that are still, you know, here today, and so I'm very grateful for that. Probably, as always, fear gets in the way. But then the fear for the first time in its life served me in that I was 44 years old, and I thought, wow, if I don't go now, I'm going to look back at my life when I'm 60 and think, what did I do or what did I not do? And then as it happened right around that time, I was in Venice, California on business, and I was staying on the beach at a little beach house. And if any of you have been to the boardwalk in Venice, it's quite the circus. And I always felt that in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, I didn't fit in. I bought a house so that I could have a mortgage, so I had something to talk about at parties. You know, I wasn't.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I wasn't the married with 2.2 kids and two cars in the garage kind of thing. That just wasn't who I was. And I was standing on the porch at this beach house, and a man with a crew cut, breast implants, an orange bikini top, rollerbladed by, and nobody looks twice. And I thought, if he can get away with that, this is the place where I can be whoever I want to be. And
oh,
nobody's going to look twice. So that had a lot to do with it.
And so was that, did you come back then and pack up and sell your house? And
I came back and I thought about it for a year. I'm German from the Midwest, Roy. We don't make rash decisions. So I thought about it for a year, and then I actually came back to Venice with my best friend, and we stayed at the same place, and we were there for 15 minutes, and she looked at me and started crying and said, oh, my God, you're leaving me. You have to move here.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And then I came back and I put my house on the market, sold everything I own, bought a Saab convertible, and drove west, middle-aged man.
I love it. I love it. And was it as easy as it sounds once you made that decision?
Nothing is ever as easy as it sounds, Roy. Hindsight,
that,
retrospect,
but
that's the easy part, right?
Yeah.
No, it was hard. I mean, I had a beautiful house. I had wonderful friends and family, and I just felt that I needed to let that go to become who I needed to be. And I didn't think that that environment was a place that I could really flourish and discover who I am.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always easy. Life isn't that way.
So now that you're in, how long have you been in California?
7 years this year.
Oh, has it been that long? Oh, my goodness.
I know, right?
Yeah, I love it. And seven is a year of completion. So so you achieved your goal of living there. And what were some of the challenges and what were the good things and challenges in making that move? What did you discover about yourself?
That I can really blend with just about any group of people.
Mm-hmm.
I was once told by someone who may or may not be on the radio with me right now that everyone doesn't have to like me. But
yes.
But I do. I somehow have this gift, and maybe it was a protective device, I guess, long ago, that I had to figure out who to be so that I could fit in. And now I get to use it as a tool because I just see different groups of people and know how I can blend with them. And I've made some great friends. You know, one of the big benefits of living here is that it is a city full of people chasing their dreams, or at least they pretend to be. But some do. And that's allowed. That is the norm. You know, you're not the odd man out. And so you see other people doing that, and it there's a synergy that happens. You know, when a friend gets an audition or gets a TV part or, you know, someone, my friend Alex's band is playing at the Pig and Whistle in Hollywood and said, wow, there are all these creative people that are making things happen just because they decided to do it.
Right, right. So what would you advise someone who is listening to the show and kind of on the fence about, I really want to... And, of course, as you said, fear is the biggest barrier to taking that first step. So any advice for them?
I would say, first of all, you better make sure that you're chasing your own dream and not someone else's.
Perfect.
Because I think that we often will look at, for example, the other day I saw, and it's January, keep that in mind, you people in the cold weather, I saw a guy riding down the street on his bicycle with his wetsuit on going surfing with his surfboard under his arm.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this bit of envy, and I thought, wow, look at him. He's going to be on that. I'm afraid of deep water, right? He's going to be, don't like getting water up my nose. He's going to be on that surfboard riding the crest of this wave and looking at the beaches he rides. How awesome the sense of freedom he must have. And I had this bit of envy, and then this other voice came into my head and said, you're terrified of deep water. You don't want to be on a surfboard.
Right, right.
And what I realized, what I wanted, was that feeling that I thought that he would have.
Mm-hmm.
That sense of freedom and that connection to the earth and the energy of the universe. And I know that in my life, I get that in different ways. So when you're chasing your dream, you need to make sure that it's your dream, because what brings someone else happiness is not going to bring happiness to you. What comes along with that is a lot of honesty and soul searching about who you are, who you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And will the things that you want to accomplish bring you joy, or are you doing it for someone else?
Yes.
If you're doing it for someone else, the joy is never going to come.
Yes, I teach and preach that constantly. So did you ever chase a dream that wasn't yours?
Oh, sure. I think we all do that. We live in a society that has expectations of us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they pigeonhole us, and people want to be able to think they understand another person, and so they have to put us in a box.
Yeah.
And if you are afraid, you're going to stay in that box so that people accept you.
So that is very true. And we find safety in that box when we're... you know, it's a great place to hide and just visualize
right.
and dream without taking action, unfortunately.
Right.
And I think we
it's
all
about
do
the
that.
Action.
Pardon?
It's about the action. You can do all the vision boards and write all you want and talk to your friends about all the things that you plan on doing with your life. But if you don't take the first little step, and it better be a little step, because the big steps are just a technique we use to overwhelm ourselves.
Yes.
You take a little step, and when that little step works out, because it will, you take that next little step and the next little step after that, because a whole bunch of little steps, they add up to one great big step, and you look back and you think, damn, wow.
And
look
I want
where
to emphasize, when you take one giant leap, it will scare you enough to send you back and say, I'm never doing that again. So,
exactly.
Like you said, go ahead.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's being honest about what your capabilities are. You know, I'm never going to be an astronaut, Roy, nor do I want to be. You know,
me
or
either.
A neurosurgeon. you know, a neurosurgeon. I remember years ago there was an episode of Oprah, and it was during one of her weight difficulty times, and she had a nutritionist or a dietitian or something on, and he was talking about the way you needed to eat and exercise to remain fit and trim, and she said, but doctors, I know so many people that can eat 3 cheeseburgers a day and they never get fat. And he looked at her and he said, well, Oprah, apparently that's not you. So even Oprah, the queen of television, doesn't get to have everything. So
right. You
need to look at what gifts the universe has given you. And you need to strip away what the expectations are from other people and just see what that kernel is inside of you that makes you sing. And you have to go after that.
Love it, love it. So where you have written quite a bit of you have the My Uncle's Shoes, and it happened along the way, and I am a spiritual, very spiritual yet vulgar man. I love the title of that. Can you tell me what that's about?
Well, that had to do with the soul searching that I just talked about. Throughout my life, people were often surprised that by me, and I couldn't figure out what it was, because in college I was the fun party guy and I was funny, but I also got good grades and I couldn't figure that out. Well, you shouldn't get good grades because you were, you know, dancing on a table last night. Well, yeah, but I went to the library after that. And, you know, I've also, since I was young, I was on a spiritual quest and would go to the library and check out different books on different, you know, religions and that kind of thing. And yet I come from a bawdy family of Germans that drink beer, that tell vulgar stories and jokes. And that's also part of who I am. And in the stories that I've written in my books, for a while I was trying to edit out one thing or another so that it would be more streamlined somehow. And when I did it, it didn't ring true anymore. And I could see through my writing that all those different things, all those different facets of my writing were in fact who I was. And if I was going to tell my story and hope that other people could benefit from that, I had to show all the sides of me. Because we all are made up of different things that may or may not seem to go together. But that's who we are.
Right.
And if you truly are being your authentic self, if you truly are, and all those things are there, they're going to fit. They're going to fit. My grandma used to say, you know what, green and blue are always going to go together because the grass goes with the sky. So if you're trying to be someone else, you're going to get a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't fit.
And when we are authentic, then we pull in energies from other people and other experiences that support that authenticity. So
right,
tell us about, we were talking the other day and you were saying that you've run into certain people, certain events have happened. Tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, people that have, you know, encouraged me and fed my soul rather than bled it dry.
Yep.
My friend, Fonda Bridges, who wrote the book 101 Suggestions for Better Living that I designed, he is like one of my soul brothers. He still is in Wisconsin, but we talk maybe a couple of times a year, and he just sees who I am, and he believes in me and loves everything, even my vulgarity, everything about me. And I have a friend, Anne, who is actually my high school art teacher a very long time ago, who had lived in New York for many years after she taught high school and then ended up back in Milwaukee living a block from me, and we renewed our friendship, and I'm still in contact with her. Because I call her my muse, because she has helped me with my writing. And the first serious piece of writing I wrote, I called her after I'd written 3 pages, and I said, I'm really afraid. I need to read this to someone. I think it might be good. And I read it to her over the phone, and she said, wow, T, how long did it take you to write that? And it's from about 15 minutes, and then I'd edit it. It's like, just hang up the phone and keep writing. So I think we also need to be aware of the people that we bring into our lives, Roy, the people that are going to nurture us and going to trust us and believe in us, because certainly people in the creative arena are very sensitive people. We just are. It's a blessing and a curse. And you need to have people around you that are going to support that. because you can't do it on your own. You can't.
You can't. And well, we, as I said, when we get authentic, as we move into who we truly are and express that in the world, we magnetize those who will support us. But when
right.
we're afraid, we will magnetize someone who is critical, who will cut down what you're doing, who will bring all of those insecurities to the surface.
And, well, because we want someone to prove to us.
Yes. What we're putting out, we want reflected back. So
exactly.
it is really important to know, like you said, know your dream, know who you are, and know what and have confidence in yourself. It's wonderful to have someone to reflect that confidence back to you and the fact that you're on the right track. So do you ever run into people who are not supportive now that you have?
Oh, I think the majority of the population, Roy, you?
Well, I mean personally.
I think that, sure.
And how do you handle that now?
When I just said that you need to be careful about the people that you bring into your life,
mm-hmm.
that's become something that I'm more aware of lately.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really see that before. It was, they're kind of negative. That's okay because they're, fun to go to a movie with or whatever it might be. Now I look
right.
at it and I think, well, no, they're negative and they're an unhappy person and they want everyone to be unhappy with them.
Yeah.
And I can't spend time with you because you bring me down. And being going on this, spiritual journey, this path of authenticity, you have to have people that are going to support you because it's difficult enough. If you have
right.
people that are bringing you down, you're not going to make it. And it's not being unkind. It's not being boastful. It's not being arrogant. It's not. It's
no.
just like eating the right food. Keep yourself healthy. It's keeping your soul, your spirit healthy.
Absolutely. And sometimes when we go to the movies with someone who is negative or is not a fit for our particular journey, we will do it and we're in the prostitute archetype. We are selling out just to have someone to go to the movie with.
Right.
Someone to be with us. This is a common... I think we all do that at one point in our life, that we give up who we are in order to achieve companionship or whatever that we're going to. So it's really important to be aware of this and when you do come up against someone who is or a situation that does not support you, to move out of that very, very quickly, very quickly.
Right.
So you've made some major shifts and decisions in your life. Is it this past year?
About 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to share that?
Oh, sure. Probably it was about 3 years ago. I was looking at my life and looking at the gifts that I truly believe are gifts. And I've been a talented artist since I can remember. I held a crayon at the age of 3, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a talented writer. I've been doing all of these things. It didn't seem to be going anywhere, and
mm-hmm.
I couldn't figure out why, and I was having difficulty financially, paying my rent, all of those kinds of things that many of us have been through, and, part of it's the economy, and part of it's Tom Frelick.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to come to terms with that, and I decided that the possibility existed that I had a problem with alcohol,
mm-hmm.
An addiction to alcohol, and if I was going to make something of my life, I needed to remove that from the equation.
Mm-hmm.
So I made the decision to do that. And it's funny, when I walked into my first room of Alcoholics Anonymous, there was a banner on the wall with the 12 steps of AA written on it. And
mm-hmm.
I looked at that, wow, this is like a spiritual workshop. I can do this. I did this with Roy Solberg 10 years ago. So I will give a large portion of the credit of where I'm at spiritually at this point
mm-hmm.
in my life to that program, because it is tearing yourself down and building yourself back up again with the parts that you want to keep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cleaning out all the things that no longer work for us.
Right.
Which this year is a big year for cleaning out in order to, because it's a year of creativity. Michelle says it's a year, it's a number six, which is, you know, abundance of creativity coming in. And in order to receive all of that, we have to be clear. We have to get down, well, the message I've been getting lately is to get down to the bone, where spirit and the physical world meet. So you don't have all of these outside or past or, you know, the things that are holding us down that are not allowing us to express fully who we are and who our gifts are or what our gifts are. So I'm still want to go back to your spiritual yet very vulgar man. What are you doing with that now? Is it a book? Is it a website, blog?
Well, that all began because of Alcoholics Anonymous. Part of that program is that you are to be of service and to be a blessing in the lives of others. And every morning I would wake up and I would be struggling with something and I wouldn't allow myself to push to the side anymore. I decided that I needed to process that and figure out what the difficulty was. And in doing that, suddenly these quotes started coming to me each morning that had to do with the resolution to that conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And I emailed one, or texted one to a friend, and he said, well, time did you write this? And I said, well, yes, I did. He said, well, send me more. You should keep doing this.
Hmm.
So that was about 20 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have 500 quotes, which I am working on paring down to about 100 for a book.
Okay.
As well as that will be the name of my inspirational speaking tour.
Okay.
Because I want to share with people how important it is to find out who you are, to be comfortable with that, and to celebrate it.
Yeah.
And it's not just okay to be different. We are, in fact, different. And we now live in a society of people that want to clone themselves into someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And what a shame that is, because we are made up of, and what, all different colors of the rainbow. And
right.
Let's be that. Let's be
yeah.
who we are. And be excited about it. Not afraid of it. Someone recently told me that there are 5 seeds in an apple.
Mm-hmm.
But each of those seeds has a different genetic makeup.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on which seed goes into the right soil, whether it be acidic or alkaline or whatever it might be. One of those seeds will grab hold and flourish. We are like those seeds. We each have a different makeup that's going to flourish in different environments. And we have to find out what that is.
I
want to encourage
it.
People to do that.
Yes, absolutely. I love that analogy. I've always heard you can count the seeds in an apple, but you can't count the apples in a seed. So we don't know if planted in the right environment what that will do for us, what the flourishing would do. And I mean, who knows? I mean, look at how much you have written just in the time that you've been out there. And,
right.
And I love the idea of the inspirational speaking tour. I think that is, I want on that list.
You're on it.
I want preferred tickets.
I'm excited about it as well.
Oh, good, good. So what else do you have in your, we have just a few minutes left here. What else do you have in your plans, in your future? What are you working on besides the speaking tour?
Pretty much it's the speaking tour and getting that book polished up, finding a literary agent for that, which it can be challenging. I'm also believe I'm going to be starting doing what a friend of mine calls my meditation adventures for a organization here in Los Angeles called Spectrum Life Design. They put a program together to help you design your life. And
I recently
met the owner, and she found out that I did this, and she we're talking about me getting involved with that and doing meditations to kick off their program.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yep.
How can people get in touch with you?
My email address, I believe, is on your website. It's tomcfralick@mac.com. If they're interested in my book, It Happened Along the Way, that is available as a PDF file. You can pay through PayPal, and I'll send you a PDF file, and with my uncle Susan, other gifts as well.
Okay.
Same deal on that.
They're both on Amazon.
No, the only one on Amazon is Happened Along the Way. But I started marketing it on my own.
Okay.
You can get through Amazon as a Kindle if you like, but some people didn't have Kindles, and so I would just send them an electronic file that they could read on their computer.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And we had talked about blog or website.
Right.
And do you have those set up? Are you going to set those up so people can? And can people get on your list to receive a daily inspirational quote?
Yes, if they just contact me at my email address, I will add them to my list.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Certainly.
Oh, I love it.
Yes, the blog has yet to happen. One of the gifts that I don't have, Roy, is to be technologically savvy, and I have to humble myself in that arena. But I'm working on it. I'm certainly working on it. And anyone that gets on the list will then be given that information when it happens.
I was always told to do what you do brilliantly and allow other people, hire other people to do the rest. So
I think that's sound advice.
Yes, let's find you a good IT guy or gal.
Perfect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Tom, thank you so much for coming on today. And I want you to come back. I want you to come back and chat with us more. And
I'd be happy to.
Everyone can get in touch with you through either blog radio or through the through my site. So thank you again.
Terrific. Thank you, Roy. You have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
So that's one example and one man's experience of becoming authentic. And when we are in that authentic arena, where we know who we are and we know how to express it, we open up to all sorts of spiritual adventures, as Tom had said. And that, in turn, allows everyone else around us to become authentic because there's no more game playing. There's no more your interaction with other people is clear. And when it is clear, energy moves faster. We don't have all of our stops and starts, and we can create. Because we, just like Tom, who has this gift of being with people and communicating with people through written word and verbal words, we all have that gift. And it's often buried under all of the things that we think we should be or think we should do. So Pema Chodron, her quote is, "The more we witness our emotional realities and reactions and understand how they work, the easier it is to refrain from going down that road again." So if you are in the midst of changing, it's really important that you become acutely aware of how you're reacting, when you're reacting, and stay with that situation, stay with that emotion, stay with those thoughts until you can clear it. And this is one way to release some of the things that you're holding on to in order to become authentic. Next week, I will be, the show will be coming to you from Hawaii, and Christina Gallagher of Navigating Wisdom is going to be my guest. So until then, have an absolutely great week. Enjoy, and we'll talk soon.